I'm loving that baptism stuff. Come on, can we give them a hand this morning? Amazing. Amazing. Well, we are closing up our series this week. It's funny, I was telling the other group service, yep. This is going to be a good one, hopefully. the other service that it was funny, I've been, you know, you always have views, you know, through our YouTube, and it was funny that this sermon series has been the least viewed series that we've done. I was like, that stinks. And I was like, well, I mean, if you really think about it, it's difficult to go back and listen to hear that you need to go love somebody that you don't like, right? It's tough to hear those things, but I believe that it's in that God challenges us and changes us and empowers us to be the people that help bring change into other people's lives. And so I believe that God's going to transform some people's lives over the next few weeks and over the next few months and years because of what we know that we're called to do. And that's what the series is about. It's about the ones that we know. It's about the people who are been put in our lives on purpose for a reason and that we have an assignment to love them through whatever they may be going through. Amen? So if you would, turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to pick up there in verse 1, 2, and 3. We're going to kind of kick off there. But I wanted to pray real quick before we get started. And so, Father, we come before you this morning, God, and we thank you. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you have a desire to change and transform people's lives and hearts. God, that you would activate somebody's purpose this morning, that you would awaken their thought process to what you've designed them for, God. I thank you that you would allow us to speak life and hope into people this morning, God. And I thank you for your word that never returns void, God, that it accomplishes what it's sent out to do. So, Lord, we thank you for your word falling on hungry hearts this morning, God, that it would transform the world around them. And Jesus, we pray that more than anything, that, Lord, you'd be made more famous through our lives this morning than you were yesterday. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. In verse 37, I'm going to be using this terminology. Maybe you've never heard it or you get freaked out when you hear it, but it's called the word prophecy. And I want you to know that prophecy is proclaiming what God is saying. That when you prophesy, you are speaking what God is asking you to speak. Amen? And I believe that God has got some prophetic words for each and every one of you this morning, that God has got some things that you need to speak into people's lives. Amen? And so I want to encourage you this morning that as you hear God's voice over the next few weeks and months, that you would be bold and live your life out for Jesus. And it starts off and it says this, "The Lord took a hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with dry bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. And then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' 'O sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.'" And as I was reading and studying a little bit about this, I don't know if you've ever been put in a situation where you're having a conversation, you can't quite get out the thing that you're trying to say, you can't, and then that person like, "Hey, is this what you're trying to say?" And they help you finish the sentence. You're like, "Man, thank God you were here because you helped me finish what I was trying to communicate and trying to share." What I want you to understand is that that's what prophecy is. Prophecy helps you communicate the will and the word of God in somebody else's life. That it helps you finish what God is wanting to activate in somebody. Amen? And so this morning as we start off, I want you to understand that it starts off that this is a story, but I want you to find yourself in the story. See, it's so easy to hear the scripture and to read it and to see it from a distance, but I want to bring you up close and I want to bring you into the valley this morning. I want to bring you into the place where Ezekiel was so that you can understand where God wants to take you. See, God, I believe God wants to take you into valleys. Oh, we just lost a whole bunch of people because we only like mountaintops, right? Ain't nobody signing up to go to valleys, but everybody wants to go to Mount Everest. We were watching that the other day. I mean, in your right mind do you want to go to Mount Everest? People die there. People are buried right now in the snow because they had to get to the mountain. I'm just saying, be careful what you climb. But But you know, it's true, right? We want all the self-help books, how to help us get to the mountain, but we don't want any help to get down to the valley. But God draws this man into a valley, because I believe that is where God has called us as Christians, as believers to do, is to get into other people's valleys. It says this, it says, the Lord took a hold of me and he carried me away by the Spirit of the Lord. Can I tell you that the Lord wants to get a hold of you? That this morning I pray that the Holy Spirit would get a hold of you and he would say, I've got something for you. I've got an assignment that I want to bring you into a place where everybody else is unwilling to go, but I want to take you there because you're willing, because you've got a hold of him. Because he's got a hold of you, because he's influencing you, because he's taking you into this place, a valley of dry bones. It says, the Lord took a hold of me and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. And I want you to understand this morning that what's leading you influences what you're willing to go through. That a lot of us, the reason we won't get into a valley is because God is not leading us. And when he's not leading us, that means he's not the main influence in our lives. And God is saying, look, this man was led. He got a hold of by the Spirit. The Spirit had a hold of him and he empowered him. He influenced him. And he said, God, I want your will, not mine. I want to do what you have called me to, and I want to do what you've asked me to do. And God is asking us this morning, can I get a hold of you? See, he's not called just to get a hold of the pastor. See, that's not just the pastor's responsibility. That's not just the lay people that work on a Sunday morning helping. That is yours as you go to your job on Monday, and when you leave church on Sunday and you go to a restaurant and you feel the unction of the Spirit leading you to do something. That is you in the valley of dry bones, because the Lord has a hold of me. He is speaking truth to me to speak to somebody else. See, prophecy is echoing what God is saying. It's you proclaiming and releasing what God is saying. God is echoing and he's saying, this is what I want you to say to them. This is what I want you to proclaim to them. I want you to speak this, but understand that you can't speak to them until you get into the valley with them. We're not called to speak from the mountaintop and say, hey, you over there who've got a terrible life, I'll just tell you that God is good. God wants you to get in their life, get down in their mess and ask them, can you know, I want you to know that bones can come alive again, that you are supposed to get into the life, into their valley, into their deep place, into their secret place, speak life. But if you're honest, that's where it gets uncomfortable for you and me, right? When you have to get in and you have to send that text and they're going to send that text back to you and you already know what they're going to say. And it's like, oh my gosh, I've sent this text 8 times. I'm so sick and tired of sending this text. But it's you getting into the valley with them, regardless of what they say back to you. How many of you know that God didn't call Ezekiel based on what everybody else was going to say? God called Ezekiel based on what he was equipped to do in the valley. That God will equip you if you will get into the valley. But is God really influencing you? Is he the one that can lead and guide your life because he's got a hold of you? Does the Holy Spirit have a hold on you? See, I believe that he has some of us. He has a nudge in us, but he got a hold on you where I am willing to do whatever it takes, God, to see people touched. See, a hold means I can't get away. I don't want to get away. I'm not willing to fight this. I'm willing to surrender to it. That I'm willing to say, God, you've called me into this valley, so apparently this is where I need to be. I try to run from valleys too, even as a pastor, even as a person who I feel is called to reach people, but I still try to run from valleys. I mean, none of us are like, oh yeah, valley season. Woo, I get to go help people in a valley. No one signs up for that and cheers it. No, I mean, none of us want to go into valleys, right? It's tough. But how many of you know when the Spirit took a hold of you, there's something about it. There was something about it that God empowers those that he can get a hold of. God puts words in mouths to people that he can get a hold of. God can prophesy through people he can get a hold of. God can change lives through people he can get a hold of. Can Jesus get a hold of you this morning to get you into a situation, to get you into a circumstance, to get somebody else out of one? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The title of this is called A Vision Beyond a Valley, because I believe that there are people who are stuck in a valley. That's the only vision they have. But when God brings you into a valley, you're able to help them get out of it so they can see something different. Amen? See, looking beyond what God is leading you into and trusting what he is saying, you have to let him get a hold of you. You have to allow him to get a hold of you if you want to be able to see something different in the valley. But that's where the challenge is you have to take yourself down into it, and there is no reward on the way to the valley. There is no you know, thing that you can gain on the way down. It's you taking the trust to knowing, God, you've given me this word, so I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to lean and I'm going to rely on you. And you have to, as you traverse down into that valley, you have to trust that God has called you into that situation to bring change and transformation. You know, this week we've got a family in our church who's got a son who's got pneumonia, and he's in Children's Hospital in Little Rock. And how many of you know that it is our jobs as a church body to begin to prophesy and to speak life into a body where they're dealing with something within their children's life that we speak into dry bones, and we say, oh, I know how you feel, but we're going to come here and we're going to speak and we're going to send you texts and we're going to encourage you and we're going to speak life and we're going to pray when I really just want to watch a show, but I feel unction in my spirit to pray and to prophesy over you. See, you can't get down into a valley if you want to remain, you know, convenient. If you want inconvenience, then that's where you can embrace the valley. Inconvenience is where you have to go if you want to embrace the valley. And I know for me, like I like to be able to go from one place to the next and know where I'm going. But I've learned that as I become more sensitive to God, that he will oftentimes stop me on my journey to get into somebody else's valley. That I've many times God did not say, okay, hey, I want you to go into their valley. He's told me, hey, I want you to go get gas. And on the way to gas, I ran into a valley. And God will call us into things that are on the way to wherever we're going. But sometimes we have to be interrupted to see the things that God wants to do in our lives, to see what God wants to do through us. Amen? See, love has the ability to see something different in someone else's reality. See, right now, in this story, these people are dead and they're dried up and they have no purpose. They have no hope. They've lost all of it. They're full of depression, full of anxiety, full of whatever you may think of. And all they know is what they're in. But love has the ability and the capacity to see them through their reality into a new one, into a new vision, to give them hope, to give them a purpose. And that's what God is calling us to do this morning, that you didn't show up this morning because it's Sunday. You came here this morning to get a vision for somebody else's dark place so that you could have hope in your lips, hope in your heart, so that you could go and deliver it to a person who's in the middle of a valley, who's struggling to survive, who's struggling to stay afloat, who has no desire to continue to live. But you have a word. See, love sees where others can be, not where they're at. See, I love that we have the capacity for God to bring us into a place and we can see where somebody can be at, not where they're at. But oftentimes we see people where they're at and we sympathize with them, but we don't empathize with them. See, sympathy says, man, that's really stinks that you're in that situation. I'll be praying for you. And it walks out of the valley and leaves the dry bones just as they were. But empathy says, look, how can I help you get out of this? How can I lock arms with you? How can I join with you and help you see God in a different way? How can I help you see God in a new view? And that's what happens is we have to be able to get into this valley in order for things to begin to shift. It goes on and it says this. It says, then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? I believe that Jesus will ask us questions that will provoke our faith. That God will put us in situations that from a natural standpoint, we will want to say, no, that's dead. I mean, I've kicked it. I mean, it's dead. And God will put us into situations that will provoke our faith to believe him for things that you don't realize that he can get you out of, that he can change and transform. See, Jesus will set you in the middle of someone else's deepest valley and ask you to love them. This is what happened is he brought him down to the deepest place of this person's life. And he said, now this is where I want you to love them. See, it's easy to love them from a distance, right? It's easy to see someone and wave at them like, hey, I love you, but you really know what they're going through. And if you went and go had a conversation with them, they're gonna tie you down and they're gonna talk to you for another 30 minutes and you gotta get your dinner and you gotta get home. Your family's waiting on you, right? It's quiet in here. But that's what happens, right? Is that he will pull you into this deepest place and you're gonna have to spend that 30 minutes talking to them and speaking life into them and putting hope in them. And then when they leave that grocery store, they wanna live again. They wanna defeat the depression that's been attacking them because of a word that you spoke into them and said, I want you to know that I heard the voice of God speak this to you. And I want you to know that you are going to rise up, that the bones in your life are gonna dry up. They're gonna become what God has called them to become. But you see, you've got to put yourself in those kinds of situations in order to see dry bones live again. See, this isn't just this prophetic declaration that God gave us so we would have a cool story to tell you. This is a story about when a man or a woman finds out that God has something significant for them, that he will put them in something and he will allow God to use them to be able to do miraculous things in other people's lives, that he will be able to allow us to speak into valleys and say, I want you to know, I don't know what you're going through, but I know that the God that we serve is bigger than what you're going through. He is a conqueror. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he's going to defeat whatever you're going through, that he's going to allow you to experience the resurrection life. This morning, I want you to know that God wants us to be able to experience resurrection life, not just for us, but for other people. How many of you know there are people that didn't show up last week for Easter that still needed a resurrection? And you know what happens is when you're willing to get into somebody else's valley, that's where they can experience a resurrection life. That we don't have to wait till next Easter to get them to come so that they can experience a resurrection life. If you will take the resurrection life with you and you will prophesy into their valley, you will see resurrection life come out of them. Amen? But that requires time. That requires energy. That requires love. That requires you being intentional. And that's where it gets tough. See, this guy had an opportunity to believe what God was saying, or say, no, I don't think so, God. Like, I've seen them, they're dry bones. They're like, I've seen the skull, I've seen the rib cage, I've seen the femur, I've seen the arms. Like, they're not even in the place that they're supposed to be in the body. Like, they got an arm, that guy's arm is over there, and it's all messed up. In other words, what I'm saying is that you get into situations and it's all messed up. It looks nasty, it looks horrible, it looks like there's no hope. And he will put you right in the middle of them. Right in the middle of them so that your eyes will see. And in that you will see, can I use my mouth to change what I see? That's what this story is all about. This story is all about mouths trump eyes. Our mouths have the ability to trump what we see. You right? See, don't let your eyes stop what your words can see and change. God is asking us to speak things even in the midst of what we see. And we've seen this family, they've struggled. They've been in and out of church. They've been divorced 3 or 4 times. They've had their kids. They always chasing everything else. And understand that there are all kinds of situations and all kinds of circumstances. But the one thing that was constant was this man believed the voice of God over what he saw. My question for you this morning is this, is does your perception of who God is change based on circumstances? See, I've experienced that there's a level of faith that I have when it comes to certain things that God's asking me to do, and I have faith for it. But then when my eyes see something different, I can allow the circumstance to become the voice of reason. And it becomes what I see, and this is all I think God can do. This circumstance is way too big. He can't restore this. He can't redeem this. He can't save that. And we allow these circumstances to change the way that we view God. But this is what he says. I love how he says, he said, then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? And I believe that that is what Jesus is asking us this morning. Can these dry bones become living people again? And it's all about how you perceive him, not about what you see. It's all about what God has put in you, not about what you're facing, not about what you're having to walk through. Because every one of us are going to have to walk through some valleys in our own lives. And if you allow the circumstance to be bigger than God, then you remain in the circumstance. But when you understand that God is bigger and that God is stronger than what you're going through, you begin to say, you know what, this is a tough situation, but my God's got this. Death, hell, and the grave did not stop him, and this is not as bad as that, so I know he will bring resurrection life into it. I know that he will bring hope into it. I know that he will bring purpose into it. And so I will stand, and I will believe. In verse 4, it goes on, and it says this, "Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones, and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" Do you know what's fascinating to me? Is that God spoke this, and none of the bones changed. The bones remained in the valley dry and separated, no muscles, no flesh, no breath. They stayed the same. It was not until the man spoke what God asked him to speak that things changed. And so many of us are anticipating, God, if you'll just do this, and God is saying, if you'll just say this, and you're just saying, God, if you'll do this, and he's saying, well, if you'll just say this, that so many of us are seeing things in the valleys, not because of what he won't do, but because of what we won't say. And if we'll start saying what we know God is speaking, valleys will begin to become armies of people who are in the middle of a valley who are ready to go to war with us. But you have to understand, you have to say something that the man of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, was saying something, but nothing came alive. Because it wasn't his responsibility to say it. God took him in to see something so that he could say what he heard God say. And God will put you in situations to see something so that you can say what you hear God say. So your words have the ability to change someone's reality. Right? Your words, check this out. You have a responsibility. And when that carries weight in your life, you will be way more quick to speak something. Because you understand that my small conversation with somebody could change the reality. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and I've said something to them that I felt the Holy Spirit. I'd send a text. And immediately the bubble pops up if you've got a real phone. Sorry, had to go there. And then it sends it back. And it was like, thank you so much. But you see, I had to take a risk of being told, dude, stay out of my business. Or that hurt or whatever. Or to reply back. And then, you know, you get those responses like, okay, I'm going to send this. And I know what they're going to say because they always say it. And, you know, you get that text, you send it out, and you're like, Lord, come on, touch their heart. And they send the same thing back, just like you knew they would say. You're like, oh, my gosh. That's when you're in a valley. When you say this, you speak over these things in their life and they come back, well, Eeyore. Do, do, do. And you know what you do? You prophesy right back to them. Eeyores become Tiggers when you prophesy. That's how Tiggers are coming. That's how you got to prophesy to the Eeyores, and you got to say, I want you to know that you are T-I-G-G-E-R, and you got to keep prophesying it. You got to keep speaking it, even when they don't believe it, and they're just, look, you just got to prophesy in the middle of their valley and say, I want you to know that you are more than this, that God has a destiny and a purpose for you, that you can come out of this, that Jesus said, he said, I am giving you life. You just got to prophesy over. You just got to speak it. But understand that, look, they're going to give you responses. Understand that this man was not responsible for how they responded. He was responsible for what God told him. And if he will speak it, God will do it. And I want you to know this morning that you are not responsible for making dry bones come alive. You were responsible for speaking what God is asking you to speak. So speak, say what you know the Lord is telling you to speak. And in that, that's where God begins to change and transform lives. See, I like what love does, is love is this prophetic, it's this prophetic declaration that, look, I understand that in the middle of your problem, you have something, but I see some potential on the other side of your problem. That's what prophecy is. It's saying, in the middle of your problem, I see your potential. In the middle of what you're going through, I see something that is greater than what you see right now. So I'm going to speak to who I know you're going to become, not who you are right now. That's what we do, is a lot of times we prophesy doubt back into people's valleys. We say, oh man, I know you're really going through that. Stop agreeing with people in their valley. Start prophesying over them. Start speaking life over them. Start speaking hope over them. Start being the voice of God in their life. Because they don't have any other people that can speak life into them like you can. See, we just assume, I've got friends that if I'm going through something, I can hit up somebody and text them and say, hey man, that's what I'm going through. And they'll immediately respond back. I'm praying for you. I'm believing God, blah, blah, blah. Because I have a circle of people who can stand in the gap. But I want you to know that there are people that don't have that. And that you may be the only source of Ezekiel in their life that can prophesy into their situation and into their circumstance. And sometimes you've just got to speak. Sometimes you've just got to say it. Verse 7, it goes on in this. It says, so he told them all this stuff, right? And this is what he says in verse 7. So I spoke this message. So I spoke this message. You don't have to have all the answers. All you got to do is speak it. So I spoke this message, and just as he told me, suddenly. See, I think we all want a suddenly. We all want to just call our friend that's going through that problem and speak into him, and then all the abracadabra, alakazam, you're healed. We all want that. But sometimes that's not how it happens. Sometimes you've got to speak it, and you've got to speak it, and you got to speak it, and you got to speak the same thing in a different way so that they don't get, and then you got to speak it some more, and then you got to speak it a little bit different, you got to speak it this way, and you got to speak it. But sometimes you just got to speak it. Come on, look at somebody and say, just speak it. You just got to speak it. Amen? See, love has the power to restore what was once separated. Check this out. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly I spoke, and there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together, and it attached themselves as complete skeletons. Isn't it amazing? The moment that he spoke, things begin to go to work. Now understand that we want living situations to just be changed, but sometimes God is putting things together. But it takes you speaking it before God can put it together. Like, I don't know why they're like that. I mean, they got an attitude. Every time I send a text to them and call them and tell them I just encourage them, they get an attitude with me. God is bringing things together. And that's sometimes what you've got to do, is you've got to speak it and let God work it. See, I think of suddenlies, and I think of, you know, we just had resurrection, but there's a thing called Pentecost Sunday where there was another suddenly, and we all want suddenlies in our lives, right? We all want these suddenlies, but I want you to understand that we all want God to do something, and we want him to do it quick, but suddenlies on the other side of obedience. That if you will be obedient, you will begin to see a lot more suddenlies. That God can't go to work until you become obedient in what he's asking you to do. And it wasn't until he said, he saw suddenly was on the other side of his words that he spoke. God, I'm going to speak to these valleys of dry bones. I mean, it doesn't look too good for them, but I'm going to speak it anyway. And then it says, and suddenly the bones begin to rattle. There was a noise. There was something that began to shift in the atmosphere that they begin to look at me a little different. They begin to say, actually, you know what? I've been thinking about what you said. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to go to work on them. Begins to go to work on us. Maybe somebody's speaking to you and you're in your valley and you've been pushing it away and resisting it. And God is saying, I'm trying to get some life back in you. Just keep pushing the prophetic word over your life back away. This morning, I pray that you'd receive it this morning. I pray that you'd receive what God is speaking, maybe even into your valley. See, love is speaking what God is saying beyond what you're seeing. Sometimes you just got to speak beyond what you see. And it was in that things begin to shift and change and transform in this guy's life. He goes on and says, Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. See, speaking to dead things is the beginning of what's possible. That there oftentimes is a lot more possibility in people than they see in themselves. And until we begin to speak, what is possible isn't. Because the whole time there was a possibility for these bones that were separated to have flesh and to become like humans. But God was asking, is there someone that will speak in the midst of this situation? And I want you to understand that in verse 8 and 9, see, the problem is that there's a process. There's layers to healing. Somebody of us want to be like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to speak to this valley and it's going to change. But how many of you know that there are layers to healing? That God may be right now in the middle of bringing the bones together in that situation, but he also may be bringing muscles together over here. And he may be bringing skin and he's covering it over here. And so many times we can be on the brink of somebody taking their breath. And we stop speaking because we don't understand that there's layers to healing. There's layers to restoration. There's layers to it. And God is asking us this morning, will we embrace the wait in people's valley? Because understand, we want to get out of the valley just like they want to get out of the valley. Because it's taxing to prophesy over people and speak life into people and just to bring hope and to constantly remind them of who they are in Christ. I do it every Sunday. Every Sunday. Because I believe in the power of the prophetic word of God. I believe that there's inspiration, that when you breathe and you speak life into somebody, there's a moment where they finally get in, they walk out those doors and they feel like they're purposeful again. I think I got something to offer now. And I want you to know that it doesn't matter. You may have to prophesy 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. There are layers, and as long as you will continue to do that, it is not your job. It is just your job to speak. It is just your responsibility to put hope in them and to instill love and to be there. See, this is about the ones you know. This is about the people who you knew, who know, who God put you in their lives for a reason. That he put you in their circle because he knew that there was a word on you for them. And that it may come to pass 3 years from now, but because you're willing to speak it, because you're in their circle. I'm talking about the person in the cubicle next to you that you walk by and every day you see that valley of dry bones and you're like, oh my gosh, that person. God is waiting for you to back it up because he's got a hold of you. Say, hey man, let's go get coffee. I just want to hang out with you for a minute and talk. Let's go grab lunch. Let's go hang out after church. Let's go grab dinner. But so many times we walk right past other people's valleys because we got an agenda. We got things to do. We got that email we got to send out for our boss. Right? And we walk right back. We get so frustrated. God, why aren't you going to use me? God, why aren't you going to do something with me? You're walking right past your purpose. Every Monday morning in the cubicle, 3 down from you, 7 down from you. That person you see at random, you just feel there's something I need to say. That's the power of what God is asking us to do, to speak life. Verse 11 says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Isn't it just like those people? They were just bones, dry bones, and now they're old bones, but they can talk, and they have something. They're out of their graves. Isn't it amazing how the point is this: it doesn't matter how good of a word that you may say to people, they will still see the negative in things. They will still complain about how they're just too old, how they just don't have whatever. And Ezekiel could have just been like, all right, I'm done. Peace, get your own hope. But he didn't. He didn't allow their hopelessness to trump what God told him to say. And there are going to be people in your life that you're in the middle of this valley with them, and you are doing everything you can. And then they're going to finally take that breath and get it, and then they're going to say, but. Right? And what are you going to do? Either going to stay in the valley with them and say, look, I understand. Look, I know that the situation didn't go how you thought it was go, but I believe God's got something different for you. See, hope is our responsibility. And hope can't get into others until it comes out of us, until it comes out of you. It was Ezekiel's responsibility to put hope in those that were hopeless. And he could have said, man, you complain way too much. I'm out of here. But he didn't. It was when he spoke hope that hope changed them. And this is what he says. He says, therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I will open your graves of exile and I will cause you to rise again. Because, see, what happens, he could have stopped right there when they started complaining about old bones and blah, blah, blah. He could have said, I'm out. But he said, know what? I'm going to speak until you rise into the destiny that God called you into. I'm going to speak to you until you rise into the purpose that God destined you for. I'm going to speak, and I'm going to speak, and I'm going to speak because you were brought in my life for a reason. So I will prophesy, and I will speak, and I will put hope, and I will put love into you until you rise into the place that God's called you to be. God is asking us, will we speak? You know, silence won't change the future. Your voice will. Silence hasn't changed anything. From the very beginning, it says that God spoke and created the world. God spoke. Silence doesn't create. Your words do. Your words have the power to change somebody else's destiny. And maybe it's the person you don't like. Maybe it's the person that hurt your feelings, offended you. And God is asking you, will you prophesy? Will you no longer be silent? Will you speak hope? Even though it's tough for you to even speak it, because they hurt me. Will you prophesy over them? See, the enemy wants to try to silence you, to tell you that you don't have that word, that you don't have what it takes. That you don't have the right to speak into anybody else's life because you know your past, because you know what you've gone through. And the enemy will try to silence your ability to prophesy. But as my recalling and recollection, I don't see anywhere here where Jesus asked Ezekiel about his past. Jesus just said, God just said, I want you to prophesy. This is not about you, Ezekiel. This is about them. And I'm putting a word in you to give to them. And it doesn't matter where you've been. I want you to prophesy anyway. I want you to speak anyway. Because silence isn't going to change anybody. It's your future. It's your words that change their future. See, silence will keep what has the most potential dormant. See, I think there's something interesting that he told him. He said, speak. And everything came together. And they took a breath. They woke up. And what was dead and useless, the Bible says that it rose up and became an army. An army. My point is this, is that there are people that are in the middle of valleys who we've discounted and discredited as they aren't a part of us. They're not like us believers. They're not in our army. And God is saying, well, maybe they would be if you'd prophesy over them. Maybe if you'd speak something, they would rise up and they would see the destiny and they would see the purpose and they would rise to their position and they would say, hey, I'm on board. I'm ready to do this. Let's do this. I'm on your team. But it takes you prophesying in the middle of their pain, in the middle of their uncertainty, in the middle of the chaos that's going on in their world. Hope, what it does is it allows people to stand into their purpose. I've been there. I've been there where I graduated high school, been going to church all my life, graduated high school and said, man, I don't know what this is all about. And I left. I was done. And then I realized that God created me for something. And that's why I preach so much about purpose, because I realized for 7 or 18 years, I lived my life going to church and not knowing that I had a purpose. It was in a moment that I realized that God gave me a purpose, that I realized I could stand and God has called me to do something. And it was in that I said, I will never let people come into a church and not encounter Christ and not encounter the fact that he created them for a purpose. And you have something on the inside of you to put in somebody else. That there is an anointing on you to prophesy and to speak hope and allow people to stand up when they're sitting down and they're laying dormant. That you see something different in them. Why don't you be the person that everybody else is seeing do something that everybody else wishes they would do? You ever seen somebody? You know, it's interesting. Let me give you a testimony. This week, you know, last week we did our outreach for Easter on Saturday. We were doing gas and we were giving away free gas. And this person came in and said, man, I gotta be a part of this. And he gave a certain amount of money, like $70 or something. And then he went in to the gas station and put $500 on the gas stations and said, I want to be a part of this. And here's my point, is that obedience fuels obedience. This man had the capacity to give his whole 2 weeks before that. He could have given if it was in him, but there was something about us provoking him to be generous and to give. And I just wonder who is in this place this morning that may be walking into somebody's valley and provoking somebody else to rise and to stand in the place that God called them. But it takes us taking action before we see transformation in somebody else's life. Who is it this week that you will get into their valley? You will speak, you will prophesy without being offended if they don't do anything, because it's not your job to put them together. It's your job to speak the word. That's all you're responsible for. And keep prophesying and keep prophesying to the layers that you know are in them. Keep speaking it. This morning, if you would, stand with me as we close. This morning, I want to ask if you would just stretch your hands up. But when you do that, I want you just to be giving your heart to God. It's this representation, God, I'm giving you my heart. And I want you just to say this. Father, you know who's in the valley. God, I ask you, give me the words to speak into their lives. God, I thank you that you will restore hope and you will give them strength to stand. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, Father, we love you. We love you. This morning, if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity. To say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've prayed the prayer, but you never really committed your life to him. It was this prayer that you prayed, but there was no relationship. And this morning you say, I want to get started with Jesus the right way. I want to give him my life. If that's you this morning, if you would, with just a slip of a hand, you'd say, I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior for my life. That's me. If you would, slip your hand up real quick and you can set it right back down. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. That's awesome. Come on. Come on. Anybody else in this place this morning, you say, I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. It's the greatest decision you'll make. If you would, just pray this prayer with me, if that's you. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins, that you rose again on the third day. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord, my Savior. Father, awaken the destiny and the purpose you have for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give them a hand this morning? If you raise your hand, we want you to know that we've got a book for you. The ushers in the back will have it for you. You know, last Sunday, we had our largest attended service ever in the history of this church. And the number was unbelievable how many people came. And even people coming back after Easter, coming back to church. Maybe they've not been in church in years, but they came back. We had over 8 salvations last week. 8 salvations. I know, you're like, man, I mean, I wish it was like 30. You got to start inviting more. We'll get them saved if you bring them. We'll try anyway. But amen, what an amazing testimony of what Jesus did last week. And thank you guys. I really believe that you guys were huge inviters, that you guys took the initiative to say, I'm going to invite people. I'm gonna talk to people and tell them about coming to our church, and you gave them an opportunity. What I wanna just remind you, don't stop inviting because it's not Easter. People are looking for a place of hope, and this church is hope. This church is purpose. We love you. We're so proud to call you Reach Church. We're so proud to call you our family. Amen. We love you.